Hi, Shirley.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yay. And there's JC and Shirley. Yay.
Hi.
We have Zoom working today.
We That's do.
That's something.
It is something. Thank God for technological miracles. Yes.
It is. It's so nice to see your face, Kwan.
Good to see yours too.
Yes. And of course, Shirley's, which I've already had the pleasure of enjoying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I hear. You guys had lunch together in Albuquerque.
We did. We had a lovely, lovely lunch.
I'm so envious. I so enjoy lunches in Albuquerque.
Well, next time we'll have to all go together.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get started. And mea culpa, my confession. I have totally failed at getting anywhere with the Belen Library. I have. I went there yesterday and talked with the children's librarian and found out a little bit more. They have a grant from NASA to do basically STEM kinds of things for the kids during the summer. And what I thought was going to be from 3 to 4:30 on Thursday, was kind of an open book of oceans of possibilities and maybe a poetry workshop, is going to be a orientation towards experiential STEM things and STEM exercises. And the first one is going to be with Oceans of Possibility. The kids are going to learn how to craft some kind of experiment to deal with oil spills on the ocean. I mean, is not going to help us much in New Mexico, but the kids are going to learn about oceans. You know, and that's the whole theme is learning about oceans and how great that is. And I know living in New Mexico, I was a California kid, JC, and I truly miss the oceans. And then I lived in Corpus Christi for a while, and goodness, the Gulf Coast. That was fabulous. And those jellyfish that would come at certain times of the year. Yes, yeah. But at any rate, I loved to be able to swim in the Gulf Coast. It was so much warmer than the Pacific. That's aside. At any rate, that's where we're at. And so I came back and had, I confess, I had a talk with Shirley yesterday saying, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, what are we going to do? And so looking at where can we go from here? So.
Yeah, well, the way I see it is that, okay, so we were a day late and a dollar short with the Belen Public Library this year. That doesn't mean that we can't, that we took a tumble there, didn't you, JC?
I'm trying to turn my phone so I can see you better. When I'm vertical, you're both tiny, but I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay.
Turn it so I can see you better.
Anyway, that doesn't mean that we can't start using this time as for better preparation and so forth. And so, you know, now that we know what we would have to do to get into the public library thing, you know, and see about doing something like that, we can still shoot for the libraries, but there are so many other possibilities. And so, you know, one of the things that I keep going back to is this idea of teaching elementary school teachers how to teach poetry, because that, you know, that it was just such a moment when Miss Vigil, one of the other fifth grade teachers, came to me and said, "Thank God you were here, because I didn't have the faintest idea how to teach poetry." And I thought, Egads, maybe what we should be doing is, setting up these things where we get good enough at it that we can go out and do demos. And then the other thing we can do is, I thought this morning, is How about tapping into some of the teacher education programs that are people are going to universities for, and do a unit? Go in and be a guest speaker, go in and do a unit on poetry and what the ramifications can be for the kids for so many other things. You know, poetry is, I've said this to Quan already, and maybe I've said it to you, JC, but the thing about it is that poetry and music are very alike in so many ways. And I have to think that the advantages that music gives kids in school, that poetry might as well. And, you know, so that's it. And then Quan and I also discussed some of the possibilities of poetry online. And by that, I mean, there was somebody in our society, in our federation, who was reporting one time that they had a contest for poet tweets. And this was anything on Twitter. It was, you know, up to 142 characters. So you had these poems coming in, and they had a contest about which were the best. We do a lot of good contests around here for short poems. And I love something that, okay, I went to the, okay, where was it? I went to a Lucidity poetry conference in Arkansas, and I met this man who was from the University of Missouri, and his, I have to look again and see what his name was. He was a professor there teaching things, and he did, they publish a journal of what they call succinct poetry, which I like that because it's succinct poetry.
Oh, succinct. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that has so much more meaning than short, because it you know, there's more of that concentration of stuff. And of course, that's a hallmark of poetry, is concentration of ideas. And so anyway, I also spoke to New Mexico President Bernadette Perez, and she would have joined us this morning, except that she has she's a full-time businesswoman, and they have their board meeting right now online, and so she couldn't join us. But she thought that there were some good ideas in this whole thing coming out, you know. So anyway, I just think that it's got a world of possibilities. One of the things is getting some of the people in our now defunct, but the people are still around, chapter that did multimedia and film and stuff like that, because their technological expertise could certainly be of use. And, you know, and there are some people, I mean, there are people in other chapters that I think would pitch right in. We've got lots of, you know, retired teachers and all kinds of other, you know, I mean, gosh, we have a whole lot of stuff there. And so, you know, that's great. I think maybe the next step is maybe I should get back in touch with the Ann Parrish teacher that set me up for the reading, and see whether or not, I mean, I imagine they have things going during the summer, if nothing else. They've got summer school going, so we ought to be able to get some kind of interview or meeting with the school principal, maybe some of the teachers, and see about setting this all up, and you know, setting up, I think I mentioned this to Bernadette, maybe setting up a children's chapter of NMSPS, so that we have all these little online kids, including the the ones that are in homeschooling, and that could be roped in on this. And so get these kids into a place where they can be chatting with each other and that would be from, I would say that would be from 12 down, because high school kids and junior high school kids, people are starting to think that that's when they are interested in poetry, have poetry out loud and things like that. But they really, really are, we really ought to be getting them, get them young and train them right.
I had, that was so confirmed. So the whole reason that I came back to Vermont when I did was because I went and met with the first graders that I worked with while I was in Albuquerque via Zoom. I met them in person in the outdoor classroom at the Sustainability Academy in Burlington. Bar none, I have worked with every age group. These first graders were the most engaged, curious, courteous, enthusiastic group I have ever worked with. And they were doing, the teacher did acrostic poems with them the week after I worked with them. And these six-year-olds were using words like impervious and,
oh my God,
ridiculousness. And I mean, they were using huge words, and it's an exceptional school, but they blew me away. And they were 6 years old. So it convinced me. I mean, not that I needed convincing, but that first grade to third grade spot is so when the love of this stuff is birthed. My partner and I were talking yesterday about our memorable experiences in school with like hand making books. And I made an illuminated manuscript for a black cauldron, exercise in first or second grade. And those are the things I remember, not the later stuff in junior high, not even so much sixth grade, but those one to third grade, so important. And like you said, Shirley, when we had lunch together, I think that's where a lifelong love of words and poetry and play with words is really, I think, is established, or the seed is planted. So, yeah.
So if you'll forgive me, ladies, I haven't had breakfast yet, and I have it here with me. So now and again, I'm going to be munching. But but anyway, you too.
I am so ahead of you. I am so ahead of you guys. That's okay. That's okay. I'm on my second pot of tea.
I was holding off on
not having breakfast.
I was holding off on my raspberry tart vegan.
Go right in. So
Shirley, I have a question.
Here we go. Yes.
You're going to be going to National, and National is when? Sometime this June, right?
23rd through 27th.
So can you and Bernadette further this by getting some contacts for this at National?
I don't know. I don't know what context. Okay, where would we go at National? I mean, why would we be doing this at National? Or
just to see if there are poets already that have curriculum for kids at the grade school, at the grade school.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, like, I'm just looking at our local PBS is just such an incredible resource, and I haven't checked it out. I have not checked it out, but they're just an incredible resource for online kinds of trainings and things. And I'm wondering if there might be, if you put out some feelers at the national level, there might be some people that have already developed things.
I know that there are some people at National who have developed other programs, but they do tend to be with older kids. And there's one guy in Florida who has really developed a successful program. He brought a whole bunch of his graduates with him to the convention. And I can chat with him again. But I know, you know, I, I actually what's happening right now is New Mexico is taking the lead at the national level with elementary school age kids. With our new contests for kids grades three through eight, I think it is. We're really, I mean, those are the first two contests added to our annual contests in years and years.
Okay.
And we've already got a bit of a, yeah, we can do that. You know what we can do is there's a state president's meeting that happens at the national convention. There's also kind of a plenary session that oftentimes turns into just reports on what everybody's doing. I mean, it's not necessarily a legislative session, usually not, unless we're talking about raising dues. I just banged my knee. We can certainly bring that up there. Okay. And I'll talk with whoever else. I'll let Bernadette talk with the state presidents and see if they have any kind of programs running already.
Okay.
That we can borrow from. And then I'll talk to some of the people on the board about what these other things can do. I know a couple of them who were teachers.
Okay. I'm hearing teach the teachers at elementary school as one possible program. And then the contests that were started on the third through the eighth grade here in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then where else could we go? What would you like to contribute, JC?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I've got the volume down a little bit.
What would you like to contribute?
I could certainly, as a way to steep myself in the national, I would certainly be happy to research existing chapters. They're, you know, online, if that's helpful, to see if any of them mention having children's programming going. I certainly continue to be an advocate for, you know, developing things or providing things for that first through third grade cohort. And I wonder if, I assume, Quan, that you, did you try to make a case with the STEM crew at the library to add a component on poetic response to oil spills to bring the A into STEM?
I was thinking about something like that. You know, I'm going to like a poem on how to clean oil off of fish or how to clean oil off of birds or something like that. I felt kind of shut out at the actual meeting. And then I talked with Kathleen Pickering again, and she said, well, you know, this was a stem cell thing. And so I'm kind of going, and then I started going, the idea that I had was to come up with some themes of things like how we are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
How if you dump detergent down your, if you use a caustic detergent, it affects the sea otters when the detergent residue gets to the ocean kinds of things. And so I was looking at, you know, if there are ways, but mm-hmm. That was just kind of off the top of my head of a theme of how we are all connected, how maybe the pesticides that the farmers use here in New Mexico, when it washes downstream and gets into the bay, I guess it goes to the Baja Peninsula water, run into that, then how is that, you know, and you know, there's just this ongoing connection between pesticide and insecticide residues destroying coral reefs and, right. and when they run off into for us to create some themes that mm-hmm. maybe the kids could write poems about poems or short stories about. Yeah.
So I think that what makes sense for me is to continue on the trajectory that I was already going to do, which was to share with you, with both of you, some of the curricula that I've developed and of course the sessions that I've already done, but I have a whole program spelled out using certain books that I have to, you know, my whole thing is cross kind of interdisciplinary and inter-themed so that we do those that theme of connection is supported
that would be like environmental kinds of things too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've got kind of cultural anthropology, I've got architecture, I've got cosmology and math. I've got medieval art, and then of course all sorts of art things. And as I was mentioning, as we did with the creative aging this year of art-inspired poetry, we're looking at doing a whole science-inspired poetry treatment next year. And again, what I will share with you the materials that I created for creative aging, because that is completely transferable to young kids as well. So yeah, we have a whole, there are universes of interdisciplinary themes of connectivity that I can help put together. So I think the place for me to focus at this point is to, I need to pull together all of the things that I've done, because they're kind of in dispersed places, and a lot of them are in grant proposals. So they're like very long and very detailed, and you don't need all that. But to summarize the things that I've done, I'm happy to do that. And of course, I had mentioned with Shirley when we got together for lunch that I'm, you know, I'm available to help in any way with the contests. And I think there are opportunities. I mean, I was very, very, very inspired by the Open Spaces Visitor Center, which I know is in Albuquerque, so that's probably outside the purview of RGV. But I even had a conversation in passing when I went to see the Weathergrams and saw your haiku kwan, that there are opportunities to do really cool things there. So I don't know if there are parallels, for instance, with the Whitfield Wildlife Area to tap into that. And I think I'm not a candidate for the job description, just because of the need for a New Mexico driver's license. And we had a very, it was a very revealing time in Hill Country of Texas. And so, of course, you know, we don't necessarily go where there's already lots of spiritual seeds planted. We go where there's inquiry. So I don't know where we're going to end up. And Vermont is feeling very good for the summer. So, but I could envision connecting with Andrew. That seems like kind of a built-in connection, since Shirley lives over the fence. And that seems like a really, really beautiful resource in an area who's, you know, has needs to be served. And we could, you know, it's so easy to build the poetry. And again, I can do visual art, which is outside perhaps the purview of the Poetry Society, but they so lend each other, mutually support each other, that it's so easy to build in environmental education and experiences and adventures in places like that. So I would say that might be a place too, that we could start, and we could even look at those littler kids, or the existing third to sixth grade crew. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and I could put together any of the things, all the descriptions that I'll share with you of the summer camps that I've done and the public event that I do bi-monthly, and you know, they're all basically the same, and that would be very easily transferable to anything that we might propose to them, for instance.
To Whitfield.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, JC, I'm so glad to hear you saying that thing, that you would pull together those materials, because I was kind of quaking in my boots when I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to write out some kind of a syllabus and some kind of I have to do curriculum development. How do I do that? I think that we've got.
Hold on one second, Shirley. I'm gonna ask you to just repeat yourself once I get to my car, because people ended up coming to the patio and I can't really hear. So I'll be right down to my car in a moment.
Okay, you're relocating. Okay.
I'm relocating. my car is with Insight. So.
Okay.
And I want to make sure I don't miss anything that you're saying.
Okay. So where are you today? Still.
I'm in Middlebury, Vermont, which is about 25 miles south from my house. So we just came down to be on the, let's see if I can show you. So that's the Otter Creek in Middlebury. And it's our kind of first day out and about after driving so much. Okay, I can fully hear you now and be on full volume. So if you could go ahead and repeat what you said, that'd be great.
Excuse me, JC, did you say you're in Middlebury with an M like Mary, or Littleberry with an L like Lawrence?
M as in Mary, and Middlebury College is right up the street.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, what I was saying, Vermont is a beautiful, beautiful state. I've only been there once, but it was absolutely gorgeous. Had a wonderful time. My husband and I went to the Jenny Creek Bluegrass Festival. Anyway, we were there for several days and just had a wonderful time. What I was saying was that I am so glad to hear that you have actual curriculum and materials and all of the stuff for that, because I was shaking in my boots thinking that I might have to come up with something like that. And I haven't had to do that for, you know, a very long time, half a century.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Keeping in mind that even when my curricula are very outlined, because my whole specialization is organic activity, my sister really surprised me. She's a very hardcore kind of science evidence-based person, and she's an expert in learning diversity and an expert in the Orton-Gillingham approach to dyslexia and all this kind of stuff. And I was having conversations with her about developing formalized curriculum, and she was like, no, please don't. She said they have so much curriculum, they need exactly what you are doing with them, which is permission to play. And, you know, bringing fun to the exploration and kind of a non-traditional classroom approach. So my curricula are very kind of like pegs to hang activity on, with particular things that we, you know, that we look at exploring and achieving and all of that. So it's not like very, you know, there's not a lot of detail. So just letting you know that, and you'll see, I can go into detail as needed and not, but my orientation is always, I always open every gathering. There are no mistakes here. This is a like mistake-free zone where everything you create is part of your personal poetry. So.
Yeah, that fits with my work with, Marshall Rosenberg and nonviolent communication, where you never make a mistake.
Yeah.
You do things differently now than what you would do in the past, but there is no mistake because you've learned from where you were in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
And also what I remember ancient years ago, back in the 70s, I was going to study to be a high school teacher to expand my repertoire, because I wanted to teach college. And I went to some of those opening classes and they had this wonderful, the biographies that they had, the bibliographies they had for us were fabulous. Summerhill and Montessori and experiential. And then I got in the classroom and everybody was lecturing at us.
Oh.
And it was the kiss of death. There was absolutely nothing experiential at all. And so, I went on to teach junior college in Corpus Christi and worked with a wonderful woman. And the whole thing was dyads and triads and small groups and large groups and discussions, and introduce a topic and then you discuss it. And so it was all experiential, and it was so rich then to have the kids write about it. Yeah, that was you know, I got to do the experiential kinds of things in class, but I didn't learn it. I couldn't have learned it in adult education in the high school curriculum. Yeah, yeah. I dropped that class because it was a kiss of death.
You know what? I think you two are kind of zeroing in on something that may be core to this. And that is, let's approach it as playing with poetry.
Yes.
You know, and even if we got to the point of teaching teachers how to teach.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's absolutely bring it out of the thing. You know, one of the reasons I think one of the reasons that my session at Ann Parish went so well is because I went in there with the idea that I wasn't going to teach them anything, that I was going to help them discover it. Yep. And when we, you know, and I even headed some of my things, you know, poetry treasure hunt. And that was where we went in to discover the kinds of things. And you know, I tell them, it's like, you know, when you play these video games and you earn yourself a particular, you know, you earn a sword or you earn a particular gem that'll protect you or whatever, yeah, like that. When you do these, you know, these different devices that will help you achieve something else, then you know, that's like finding a treasure that you can, exactly, use.
You get prizes for the next step on the path or the journey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You get another piece of the map is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that if we approach it that way, who knows, perhaps we could even develop something that was a game of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, where kids could learn some of that stuff. And I don't know anything about gaming, but you know, but it sounds to me like you could do stuff like that where, you know, when they learn what alliteration is and they can spot it in 10 different places, then they, you know, get whatever that thing is that they need to go to the next level.
Well, Shirley, when I did some work with management by objectives, that is exactly one of the criteria for creativity, is take a piece of music and translate it into 3 or 4 different instruments.
Yeah.
That's part of the definition of creativity, is the application of a theme or an idea to another medium.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yep, or translate it into an art piece, a picture.
That's why I work with art so much. I mean, one of the things that I love having the kids do, and it's what I did in a summer camp last year, is they handmade a book and they loved that. You know, they saw, the kids that I worked with asked, you know, saw my book of poetry and they're like, oh, can you publish a book of poetry for me? And it's like, even better, let's hand make our books. And so they wrote poetry, they did art, and they made it into a book that they then gave to their parents at the end of the summer camp, and the parents were blown away. So kids love making books and building in games. I love the idea of alliteration. That's so easy. It's like, even, you know, you can do digital things, which we could call upon the, you know, the media musician poetry chapter there. And also you can create, we created games with the King Street Center of like a poetry snake, where we built a snake that had the different segments, created a poem, but it'd be so fun to do an alliteration game where they then create art of you know, a landscape, like an adventure world, and then, you know, create pictures that indicate clearly.
You're going too fast for me to take notes. I'm a terrible secretary. I'm a big picture person, but I'm desperately trying to take notes here. So
the good thing is you're recording, so you've got it.
Well, yeah. I don't know how to listen to the damn thing once I've recorded it, JC. So I mean, there's just severe limits to my technological know-how.
Okay. Well, I can certainly tell you how to listen to the recording. It's very easy.
Okay.
I'll do that another time. But yeah, so Yeah, being able to create an artwork together. What I use is the big roll up brown kind of butcher block paper, and you just get a big roll of that, and you can kind of roll it out infinitely into a big, huge mural type thing. And they can create artwork either with, you know, construction paper or markers or, you know, whatever, where a landscape or an adventure world is created. Like Zelda is still a big video game, as far as I know. And Zelda goes through lots of different scenes. It is an adventure game where you pick up different skills based on from scene to scene. And so you could create whole worlds of alliteration and assonance and rhyme, you know, where they create artwork that goes with a line, you know, a couple of lines of poetry that they've written or that we read. The kids yesterday in the group were listening. They were begging for the teacher to read poems from the Shel Silverstein book, Where the Sidewalk Ends. So they were like, give us the jam poem, give us the jam poem. And the teacher was like, the jam poem? You mean the peanut butter sandwich poem? And we're like, yeah, that one. So there's plenty of rich creativity in being able to do multidisciplinary games, which I think is really a great, I mean, it was the toddlers were out at the Sustainability Academy yesterday, and their thing was big bubbles. And I mean, they just, for half an hour, the teacher kept blowing these enormous bubbles, and they were running all over the play area after the bubbles. And I was like, the power of a bubble, which was just reinforcing again, building in, you know, you could do a whole combination of science, art, poetry around bubbles. So I think there are infinite possibilities. And those are the types of things that, again, I can, this is where I've already been thinking since I founded poetry. And so and the experiential orientation has continued to prove itself, that the more, you know, the more you make it self-directed, self-generated, group directed, and playful, the more they're into it. So
now there is an idea, if we could get this developed and perhaps use New Mexico as a proving ground, then I think this is another thing that I could take to the national and see about getting a program established there, you know. What's to say that the National Federation cannot offer this, perhaps even, I don't know if it would be free of charge or for some very nominal thing, in teacher education departments throughout the country when these kids are going out. And once again, approach this as something that you don't do at the very end of school as kind of an afterthought, but it's something that can help if they can get it started at the beginning of the school and keep it going. Then what you do in the last 2 weeks of school, when you've finished all of your standardized testing, is you, maybe that's when you put your books together, you know, and having that, each, I mean, that would be a service to education as a whole, I think. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, we could probably, I would think that we would be able to get an some kind of a grant or something in, but have the New Mexico, I mean, maybe have the Federation, you know, really put that together. That's, you know, that's something the Academy of American Poets is not doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Academy is, you know, the thing about it is that the National Federation is the only group I know of that's on a national basis that's, I mean, it says in its charter that its mission is education And, you know, and it is the only thing that is going to the non-professional poet, the, you know, the people just starting out and the people who will never be Pulitzer winner, you know, prize winners or pushcart winners, but they like doing poetry, even if it's doggerel. And so anyway, I just think that would give more dynamism to the Federation as a whole, if we want to do it. I've already started two things in the Federation. I know I can do a third, probably, and given time. But took me a heck of a long time to get them onto Submittable. But anyway, that was an uphill battle. Talk about it. But anyway, and you know, so why not? Why not dream big? Mm-hmm. Dream big or go home, you know. Yep. But if we can get really good working models going here in New Mexico, how long will it take us? A year or two, maybe, to get this done?
Yeah, I mean, I think depending on what a breadth of variety is required. But, you know, I was looking at the list of things and the places I've worked that I've worked with for another opportunity here in Vermont, and a lot happened really fast. So I think it just depends on, you know, on who we connect with and what kind of, you know, how defined a framework and what is considered proven enough, you know, to then bring to national. But I would say definitely if there are any outdoor education organizations, I think looking at schools with STEAM programs, if there are any in New Mexico. So there are a lot here in Vermont, and there's a whole Uptown High School in Chicago is completely STEAM oriented. Looking at environmental outdoor education, STEAM, if there's a New Mexico Arts Council. Because I know so much that's being done here in Vermont is through the Vermont Arts Council and the Artists in Schools program, which is a grant program for artists of all different kinds, including poets, to go into the schools and help support the teachers as guest teachers and guest experience providers. So those are places that I would be looking after, of course, the first step of defining what some of the offerings could be. But yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, a year, definitely, depending on, you know, if there's focused effort, you know, by all of us, which it sounds like there can be, 2 years max, I would say, especially Shirley, since you have experience with the Federation, recognizing that it may be a slow moving entity. I've been doing the work that I've been doing for 3 years. That's been a really good unit to have built up. But I got my first grant like 2 months after I founded the Poetry Project with the City of New Haven. So I think we can move, definitely say, you know, a year minimum, but who knows? We may be surprised. But I would say getting it established in New Mexico is a really good idea. And having, you know, been exposed to now Vermont and Chicago and New Mexico, I think there's a fiery aspect of doing in New Mexico that I haven't seen as much in Vermont and in Chicago, even in Chicago. So I think there's all the reasons to believe that this can go pretty quickly. And I think there's an unmet need here. So,
yeah.
I think there is too. Just from the outside looking in, we've had a tremendous number of teachers retiring and tremendous shortage of teachers here in New Mexico. And the teachers have been older. And so with the COVID and the slipping into virtual reality and Zooming with curriculum and not having experience with that, it's and then going back and forth and back and forth and being and then dealing with kids that are getting further behind. So there's just this, I just see that anything offered to teachers, well, and to focus on, I'm hearing like kindergarten through about third grade, is that, or do you, are you thinking about?
First through third. And then of course, third through fifth and, you know, but I think, yeah, it's first kindergarten. I've worked with kindergarten and you can do kindergarten, but I think there's a real, like there's a real takeoff point in first grade.
Okay. So having two different groups or two different focuses for schools and for teachers to be able to offer things, and to have this as, I really see them as part of it would be first getting into the school, getting something developed and getting into the schools, and then having it, teachers realize that they might be able to call on us or some people in Albuquerque as backups when they need help.
Yeah.
And then having these like we could just, these would be plan Bs that teachers could just take and run with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one of the other, and I think I shared this before, but I think that there is a real benefit to even, you know, going in and providing these modules, guest modules, like you did, Shirley, like I've done with Sustainability Academy and others, where the teachers see what's possible. And then, I mean, this teacher I worked with, she got totally inspired her second week to do things that she never planned or thought she could do. So it was as much, you know, it was as satisfying to see the teacher light up and see her gain confidence that even though she's not a poet, that she could do it. And she did a great job with them. So I think that it's definitely like a two-pronged thing that it's often, and this is also what happened with working with King Street Center for the, which is a, you know, an after-school and summer school program for at-risk kids. The coordinator of the mentor program, she had one terrible experience with a college poetry class that ended up making her hate poetry. And right. So it was actually a mentoring partnership that came to one of my public plein air poetry of nature walks together that went to the mentoring direct coordinator and said, you need to have her do stuff, you know, have this offered for our mentoring partnerships. And the, you know, the mentoring coordinator, she and I became fast friends. And she was like, on the first time together, she was like, oh, I can do poetry. Anyone can do poetry. And it was like, yes, my mission is to help people like you who've been burned by one bad class to say, no, poetry's fun, it's play. So I think that even the, you know, the teachers having direct experience to see how playful and joyful and non-intimidating it is really important. And that also can create footholds then to go in and say, well, hey, you've discovered this, maybe you are realizing that there's more that you can or would like to be able to do. Here's our program to help empower you to bring poetry to your class.
Right. Okay, so from that, I have my instructions for what to do at the national convention. And you, JC, are going to show us what you got already.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, that sounds good to me. And you know, I don't know. I will talk to Bernadette about this. I think that Quan, maybe as the chair of RGB, you should write up a little proposal or at least a summary of what we're kind of thinking about for the next board meeting of the society. And so anyway, you know, that might be kind of a neat thing. If you could drop that off to, if you could send that to Bernadette, I know that she's working on her annual report for the national too. And just give her a heads up that we're kind of doing this maybe. And see if do we want to say RGV is going to spearhead this thing? And if we do, shall we recruit some of the other some other folks to come in and at least join us in our efforts, since we're doing most of it on Zoom anyway? I wonder about people like, well, maybe we just send out a message. Maybe Bernadette sends out a message that says, anybody who's interested in this, give Quan a call.
Yeah.
You know, and then say we're putting together something that could be a really big deal. And I know that Bernadette said that she hasn't yet met with Dino and Iris. Let me fill you in a little bit, JC. Dino and Iris were on Bernadette's board in her last administration. Okay. I don't know if you knew that Bernadette has just taken over. Bernadette had gone off the board after serving for 4 years as president. And a new president came in, and that didn't work out well. And so anyway, he went to a different job, and Bernadette stepped back in as president because there was a kerfluffle. One day you'll find out about it, but we lost.
It was a very serious kerfluffle, and Shirley and Bernadette, these people are heroes. These are the poetry heroes that saved our state poetry society. It's more than a blankety blank kerfuffle. These are the cops on the beat that saved our society. So it's a story. It's a really good story.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing it someday.
Yeah, and so anyway, what happened is that both Bernadette and I stepped back onto the board during this time of, it was a time of crisis. Yeah. But the thing that happened, what happened is that four members of the board resigned on the same day.
Oh,
And it just wiped out. And it just kind of wiped out our leadership. The only thing we had left was the treasurer, and she couldn't do anything because one of the signatories on checks had gone and wasn't willing to come back. And so anyway, we did manage to get things changed around. She's been still looking for other people to fill board positions. Now, at the Poets Picnic, Dino and Iris both expressed their interest in coming back on the board.
Oh, now, that's great.
The board consists not only of the four main officers, but it also consists of chapter chairs and project leaders. Yep. Okay. And so anyway, I'm not quite sure. Bernadette thinks perhaps Iris is interested in taking over the Poets in the Classroom administration of that program, which ran for, golly, was it 9 years, something like that. It was incredible. We had 35 to 50 poets going out and teaching in elementary school classrooms. And we got a couple of publications out of that and some other stuff like that. That was really good. But then COVID hit and kids weren't in school.
Right.
And so anyway, that kind of went on hiatus for a while, but we're interested in reviving it. And so Dino also may be interested in some of the, teaching stuff. Dino was one of those guys who went to a school one time and thought he was going in to talk to a class and wound up talking to 90 kids for a day. Okay, kind of about three times what I had, or twice what I had. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience for him. And I think that he's also interested in this type of thing. Now, whether they come back in their former capacities, I don't know. Dino was vice president and Iris was secretary. And those those positions are still open on the board, but I don't know if they are interested in that. Bernadette was going to talk with them, but then everything kind of went bonkers at her place of business, and she got, didn't she get COVID again?
She's had COVID a couple of times, and she lives in a compound with her family and extended family, and her family has had COVID a couple of times, and she's had grandchildren that had COVID a couple of times. So she's just been, it's just been a revolving door of illness with her.
Wow.
Plus she was really overweight, and she's been losing a lot of weight, and she's been taking better care of her health, but she is one of these quiet stalwarts who make sure everything gets done, and she doesn't want to be in the limelight, and she is such a good leader.
Yeah. She manages to hold down a full-time job as one of the vice presidents of a company that's just going bonzo here and expanding all over the place, and she worked recently, she collapsed at work. Okay. She thought maybe this was because she'd been working 14-hour days on the restaurant floor for over a week, and she has had heart problems since she was 11. So, you know, I talked to her the other day. She was taken by ambulance to the hospital.
The day we met last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she had been taken by ambulance to the hospital, and 2 days later she was back at work.
So the drama continues, and she is just such a hard worker, and I just have nothing but respect and love for her. Yeah. So that's part of what we're dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. She also writes a poem every day, and she had 100 of them published.
Wow.
Yep. So I don't know how she does it, except that she never sleeps, and there's got to be a clone of her somewhere. But anyway, and she's just a wonderful woman. She's with a heart of gold. I swear she is kindness personified.
She is. She's an inspiration.
Great.
Yeah. So anyway, all that being said, she didn't have a chance to talk to Dino and Iris yet, but she was trying to schedule that, I think, for next week, so that we have a better idea. And I told her, I said, you know, here we have JC who could fill all of these different kinds of things, but when it comes to kids, we're going to have more than enough work to go around, I think, you know. And if somebody else is heading up the poets in the classroom thing is as much an administrative thing as it is, I think people who do it also go out into the classrooms themselves, but they're just, you know, they're tapping into Southwest Writers and other places like that, and getting everybody scheduled for the different schools that they're going to and the times and the stuff, and interacting with the Albuquerque public school system, which requires some stuff that Valencia County doesn't. I mean, in Albuquerque, you had to have background checks and all that kind of stuff done ahead of time. And there were instructional things for what you could and couldn't do in the classroom. And so here, basically, you know, I just went up there, signed in at the front desk, and went and did my thing, and that was it.
So
we can do that. Okay,
so let me just summarize where we're at least where
sure,
I'm going to hear. So I'm hearing you want to focus what we would like to focus on New Mexico, and right now, that looks like Valencia County, where Shirley and I and Bernadette are, and Albuquerque, Bernalillo County. It does not look like the entire state. We might be able to pull in Carol Borsello, who's down in Las Cruces, or down in TRC, but those all maybe. Right now it's just would just be Valencia County and Bernalillo County. And
I almost say only Valencia County to start with.
You think it's only Valencia County? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
At any rate, I'm looking at starting points, Shirley. And if Iris is administrator, Iris is in Albuquerque. So I want to include Albuquerque at any rate. So this is, I'm just looking at the geography of where we're starting from here. And we're looking at us. I'm really hearing us as being like the curriculum developers and other people. And we would go into the schools and probably in Valencia County and wherever. And JC, whenever you would show up, you'd be welcome. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm a little bit sorry you're not going after the job in Valencia County. I was hoping we could snag you in there. Yes.
Yeah. It's just not practical at the moment. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we would be like curriculum development and the orientation would be self-directed and group-directed learning and it would be and looking at in I'm really hearing the for me the word that comes up is inspirational. It's inspirational and it's fun and it's joyful and yep. and there's making learning and poetry really fun and creating that environment. And it would be for teachers and it would also be for students. We're talking about the students, but we're also talking about creating joy for teachers and teaching. And I think yes. What I'm reading, they really need that too. So those are a kind of goals and orientation. And it would be very experiential, and it would be interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. And for me, what comes up are the interconnected kinds of things, you know. How what you do in terms of spraying on your plants here in New Mexico affects the water in the Baja Peninsula kind of thing. You know, that I mean, yeah. Those making science connections for kids. And so that would be the connection with the STEM stuff. And then also, so science-inspired poetry and interdisciplinary. And then the groups that the audiences that would be interested in that would be any teacher in the school system, I think they're really going to be interested in climate change, the whole climate, mm-hmm. the environmental kind of thing, and, yep. and STEM programs and the New Mexico arts. And and so those are all places for the audience. Those are all places we could go for grants, or those are all audiences that would be interested in what we may be doing. And the playful part of it, and I think it just sounds fun to create the games with like this, what you're talking about, the snake or the Zelda or Shirley, the alliteration and the poetry treasure hunt and creating a piece of a map for prizes for kids and have each piece of the prize then help them move along in terms of feeling empowered about what they've learned. So all of that empowerment and playfulness and making it into, and some of it into a game format would be part of the process.
Yes. There's another, just one other piece that I think came up, but also I think that the homeschooling community is just another huge, huge opportunity.
Yes. And I know, I think I know how to get into that. My sister homeschooled her kids. And New Mexico Homeschool Association has its annual convention in Albuquerque every April.
Right.
Which just happens to be National Poetry Month.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And the other thing
you're saying that would be another audience then. That's another.
Absolutely.
Audience. Another would that be another and then, but also you're saying that a lot of this, you're so, and help me understand so I get a very clear picture here. part of what we're doing is going to be, are we going to be putting all of this, we're going to be putting all of this like on paper so students can do it in class, but we're also going to be doing like teach the teacher or teaching the students, and we're going to be doing it by video then, is that right? Help me understand the medium.
Okay, I think that first of all, we have two ways to teach the teacher. One is by going into a classroom and teaching and letting them observe. The other way is by doing something specifically aimed at the teachers that can be part of their teacher preparation in universities, you know, when they're studying to get their education degrees. And those two can, I don't know, to me, it seems like even if you were to be teaching the teachers, you don't want to lecture them about how it's done. You'd really want to, maybe you go in and you teach them the same way you would the kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, and when they have been through that kind of thing, you say, okay, here's, you know, I'm going to teach you guys poetry today. So when that kind of comes up in your requirements, and it is something that is written into their thing that they're supposed to teach poetry, as I understand it. They have, that is their curriculum guide type of thing, or whatever you call it. They need to do a unit on poetry. And so we can say, here are the things you could do. And as far as a workbook or a textbook, that is, I would think that could almost be, I mean, it's what I gave them on those 2 days was, I gave them handouts, single handouts, but I don't see why that couldn't be a workbook page,
yeah,
for example. And, you know, and to be able to do that. And, you know, if we get more things like the snowball video, you know about that, the cockatoo that dances and makes up his own dance steps and responds to rhythm without being taught to.
Is that on Zoom? Is that on YouTube or what?
That is on YouTube. I'll send you the link. Okay. Or just say snowball cockatoo dancing. It'll come up everywhere. It was viral. And there are several of them. Mm-hmm. JC, you want to say something?
Just that I think the idea of teaching the teachers the way that the, you know, with the experiences that would be given to the kids can also be videotaped.
Yes.
And then have that available as a, you know, building up a video library, or have that as a video, a replicable video option for those who may not be able to have an in-person experience, or even, you know, to have as source material for going larger scale, you know, outside the borders of these counties or New Mexico, if wanting to share this with the Federation. So,
yeah, so that was what I was going for. It's like Shirley is handing out something in a classroom, but JC, I really just see for this to be better, more available, I hate to admit it, you know, as a baby boomer who learned on a manual typewriter, but this needs to be on the internet. It needs to be viral. It needs to be videotaped, and it needs to be accessible so they can go online and print out what Shirley's going to hand out in class. So, and that was part of what I wanted to get at. Yeah.
And that's the piece that I can totally help with, since I've been doing the online stuff since 94.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing is that one of the teachers there was taking videos of me on his phone all the time I was teaching. I might see if he's got anything. And, you know, it would be kind of cool if they did. And I don't know whether that would be helpful or not, but you could kind of see what's like. Some of that was flying by the seat of my pants. I have to admit that. But I still felt prepared, because for the important things I had handouts, And, you know, for anything else that came up, and there were lots of other things that came up, you know, it was the kind of thing that it was, I guess it's what teachers do all the time anyway. You have to be ready to meet the unexpected and have an answer for them or to tell them why you don't have an answer.
And that, honestly, that's more effective. That, again, the organic nature, not having super polished, perfected things is way more engaging.
You mean like being able to say you don't have all the answers and let's figure it out together?
Yeah, imagine that.
How honest that is. Yeah.
Every kids came up with interesting things when I told them that, for instance, that the only animals that we know of that we've been able to prove so far that actually seem to have an innate sense of rhythm, of music, basically, are human beings, this whole range of parrots and different kinds of speaking birds, okay, and Asian elephants. And I said to them, now, why, I say, it's Asian elephants, it's not African elephants. So what do you think might be the reason that, you know, that these are the ones that have it and nobody else does it? One little boy says, it's genetic. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, if only Asian elephants have it. I said, yes, so maybe there is something actually in our genes that we don't even know about yet that is a kind of a rhythm gene or a music gene. We don't really know. And, you know, and that was, and so anyway, there were mysteries there, but, you know, that's great. There ought to be mysteries in life, some things you can't get an answer to.
And that sparks broader discussion. Those are the best experiences, I think. And what's lacking, there's not that much space for that in schools anymore. So,
So anyway, well, this, I think that's a pretty good summary. The one thing that I am a little bit concerned about, okay, is the business of this being in RGB and Bernalillo counties. Now, you know, if we started off here and they want to take this into the Bernalillo County, yes, that's fine. But what I was looking at when I was talking about people in Albuquerque doing some of this stuff is that I was hoping that perhaps we can get more people like maybe like Mark Flusher or somebody, you know, people who join our readings and so forth. Maybe we can get more people down to come and join our readings that live in, and, you know, if it's going to be Albuquerque, it can be Santa Fe as well. People who might want to come in and join us on this project here that are not necessarily members of RGV, but let RGV be the spear point on this.
And well, I don't know that as the chair, I don't know that I'm hearing tentacles of octopi responsibility that I'm not sure I want to buy into at this point. I'm willing to chair RGV. I'm willing to do the Zoom meetings, but you know, Shirley, I have my own health issues. So it's, which are, I'm willing to do this proposal. I'm willing to, I'm not willing to take on a lot of responsibility that I see could be lurking out there.
But that's not really exactly what I was thinking. What I'm really thinking about is that I think we should concentrate this. Anything that we're doing in the schools, let's do the Valencia schools only for a while. If it spreads and anybody in Albuquerque wants to take it on and expand it there, more power to it. But for right now, or wherever they want to go with it, But for right now, I think because Valencia County may not be as security conscious and tight on who they'll let in and stuff as the Albuquerque thing. And because we don't really have it developed yet, you know, let's wait until we've got a good, solid program that works right here locally before we decide to expand it somewhere else. That's kind of what I'm looking at. And La Merced would be a great other elementary school to go to. JC, La Merced is in Rio Communities where Juan lives. And it's it's kind of an outlier of the Belen school district, you know.
It is in the Belen school district,
yeah. Yeah. And so, anyway, the other thing I will do is go sit down with my grandson and figure out some of the games he plays. He plays Minecraft. And so anyway, maybe I can figure out how some of those games run and how you get from one level to another and that sort of thing. Yeah. You know, and he's pretty, I don't know if he has time enough to, or patience enough to explain. I think he might be. He's pretty good at teaching people other stuff. So
Shirley, okay. I did a video game class, and part of what you look at is the elementary levels are the easier things. And then as it's more advanced, you get you get more skills and resources, then you have more difficult challenges. So that's basically the format for it. So you don't jump into sonnets, you try just rhyming at first, you know, kind of.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Same principles apply.
Yeah. So, and we'll give them prizes all the way up. Yeah, all the way up.
Great.
Okay, well then I have a good idea of I have a good idea of where we're going. I don't quite know how the State Poetry Society and Irish Gersh in Albuquerque is going to be in terms of poetry, you know, whatever. Yeah, if we're just going to be doing Valencia, but I think focusing on Valencia is a good place to start. Yeah, that's fine with me. That's fine.
Especially because it's close down here from where we are, you know.
And if it is where we are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, start where you are.
Yeah. Okay, and JC, so I'm looking forward to, I guess I'm looking forward to what might we be able to do with poetry and outdoor education at something like Whitfield Wildlife, you know?
So, yeah, I think that would be... that would be a great place to start. And I'm very available, because the good thing about this as well is that having collaboration is an inspiration to get these things more defined. So I think that also thank you, Quan, for expressing transparently your wish not to be tentacled. And I think this is something that Shirley and I can put a lot of energy into. So I will get you basically kind of a prospectus. I may need a little bit more than over the weekend. I mean, this is really kind of a culmination of 3 years of cogitating and experimenting. So I will work on that and keep giving you progress reports and get you things next step.
I think what I'm going to do, and let me just, I'm only just thinking out loud here, because I scheduled this meeting for an hour and a half, and we are at an hour and 20 minutes. We're just such great talkers. Never at a loss for words here. I think that I'm going to try and get something ready for Bernadette and Shirley to look at as a proposal to take to and to kind of fleshing out. I don't think I'm going to quite do. I'm just dreadful with the details of things, but I do get the big picture, and I'm going to write a summary proposal for what we've talked about today. And I think I'm going to get that to Shirley and Bernadette and for them to take a look at. And then I'm thinking that if by the time the 23rd rolls around, if they could have some kind of follow up from you, something that would flesh out whatever I do a little bit more, to take to the national convention, as just kind of examples of what's already been done, that would be a bonus. What do you think, Charlie?
I think that's great. The other thing is, I know that Bernadette will have her tablet with her, and I will take my bigger but not much heavier laptop.
Okay.
And you'll be able to reach us there or send us information there or whatever. I would prefer to see it ahead of time, and I can print it out. Bernadette can't, and that would be something to give the people there in paper form, if necessary.
And so, when are you flying out, Shirley?
We are flying out Thursday morning, the 23rd of June. We're leaving at, we've got wonderful times. We're leaving at 10:30. We're going to Columbus, Ohio. We'll get in there at like 7:30 that evening. And then we will be flying back home on Monday, the 27th. We leave there. It's a decent time. I think it's after lunch. And then we get in here at 8:30 that night.
Okay, so help me out here. I have always been sending things, Bernadette, to BP at Burritos Al Estante, or do I send it to Bernadette as the president of New Mexico?
It doesn't matter, because what happens is that when we send things to the officers as named, then it Debbie has basically sends it to your personal email address. She just does it behind the scenes so that your personal email is not revealed. So okay. If you send something to me, a chancellor, I get it in my regular EarthLink account. Okay.
I would send it to you. Yeah. Is it okay if I just send it to you?
It's fine if you want to send it to me. The only reason that other thing is set up is so that if something comes in and it is an action item that requires something, and say Bernadette is out of town, as she has been, and some of these other things, and something comes into her that would be an emergency item, Debbie can see that, you know, and okay. Debbie can, that whole business of sending it to her is just a filter. It still winds up in the same bin.
Okay. I was just looking I just wanted to make sure that if JC sends something, that it's going to get to Bernadette when she's at the conference. I know if I send it to you, mm-hmm. that you'll get it, but I just wanted to make sure that we send it to both places. And so I will send the Bernadette at President, I will send you her email.
It's just our, president at nmpoetry.com.
At nmpoetry.com. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can send that to her. If you send it to her personal address, she'll get two messages in her inbox, but it's the same inbox.
Okay, anyway. So JC, we're looking at, sometime between now and next week, I'll get you the proposal. I'm gonna try and work on it as soon as I can. But if you could get whatever you're going to be doing then to Shirley by the 22nd, then she can print it out before she leaves. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's my deadlines. Deadlines are my specialty.
Good.
Deadlines and the big picture are my specialties.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So I'll get the proposal out, and that'll be my contribution. And then do we want to set up something for when you come back then, Shirley? Or where are we at with that?
Let's wait until I come back.
Okay.
Until I know whether we've got anything for me to tell you. And there's only one other thing that has nothing to do with this particular subject. But does that mean, JC, that I can stop looking for rental properties for you?
Yes, I so appreciated that you did, and I'm still, there's still a possibility of me locating there. So again, there's all possibility, but I had had the same experience that there wasn't much around. So I so appreciate both of you with your information, yeah, you can put that one down for now, but I will still, yeah. I am definitely considering this, you know, New Mexico a locus of my activity. And I have friends that I can stay with anytime. The ones that I stayed with in Four Hills for now. And so also I don't want in any way for things to be limited in terms of like, you know, you're welcome when you're here. No, let's make sure that we're planning things and I will come because I see more activity in New Mexico than any place else I'm interacting with right now. So I'm fully available, but yes, no need to look for rentals for now. But if you hear of anything, just okay. By chance, let me know.
Okay. I've sent it out to, and do you want 3 bedrooms and an acre or more? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I mean, 2 to 3 bedrooms with up an acre plus would be great. Again, my partner is part of the equation and he has been stuck in a Chicago box for a year. And so he's really needing peaceful space, inspiring space, more outdoor, indoor living that, you know, kind of where it's seamless, where you can move in and out, more sun, more year round activity. And again, we are looking in the sort of less than 1500 a month would be great, but sort of the 15 to 3000 range, 3000 being way up at the top, but that's kind of the
okay.
range.
Okay. That's what I will let the realtor know and we'll just play it by ear. And then the next thing that we can do is we can schedule the regular RGV meeting on July the 7th, then we can plan on just being in touch then.
Oh, excellent.
At least just to see your lovely faces.
Yes. And Kwan, I will send to you via email if you're interested instructions on how to access the recording of these Zoom meetings.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, folks.
Thank you.
We have.
Yes, that's it. Thanks. It was great.
Thank you so much. This was a great meeting. Appreciate
it. Was.
It.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Safe journey, you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.